Last week when Pastor Brian was preaching, I don't know if he said this. I meant to ask him through the week, but I didn't get the chance. But I don't know if he said this or it's just something that I felt just happened on the inside of me as he was talking. And I just got that, you know, the word in the Bible, the scripture in the Bible, you know, you were called for such a time as this. You know, so last week, Pastor Brian was talking about, you know, how God wants to bless us, you know, and he's created us to bless others. And there was a whole lot more in there, but it was just something that sort of jumped out of me that we were called for such a time as this. So I want to talk a bit about this morning. So I want to say you were born for such a time as this. You know, you were born for such a time as this. You're not an accident. You know, you're not, you know, even if your parents say, it was an accident. You're not an accident. You know, God created you for such a time as this. You know, so you personally, us together corporately, your contribution to the house, you are here for this time because God called you for this time and this season. Amen. So if this is your home, you've got your part to play. We're all in this together. I think there's a song. Says that we're in this together. You know, we're not alone. It's like the song said, I've found my tribe. You know, I'm not standing alone. I'm standing side by side with my brother, with my sister. You know, we're in this together. So this is our time. This is your time. This is our season together. Lee's with me. You know, this is our season. This is our time. So there's an incredible story in the Bible, and the focal point is a young woman by the name of Esther. So this is just as I was reading it through the week, a powerful story, and it's a powerful example of a father-son relationship, or in this case, a father-daughter relationship. But it talks of, you know, the story of Esther. It talks of connection. Talks of covering, talks of trust, and you can have a read. It's pretty short. You'd read it in an evening. It talks of a father's heart, hearing the voice of the father, overcoming fear, intimidation. Talks of trust, knowing the call of God, trusting the call of God on your life. Talks of teamwork, talks of coming together. So even though God used Esther to save the remnant of the Jews that were there at the time, it was a team effort because there was Mordecai, there was Esther, and there were the people that she called to rally around to fast and pray. So it's a team effort. It's a crew coming together to do the job. So here's a brief overview just of the story this morning for those that don't know. So Esther, she was an orphan. All right, folks, her parents died when she was young. Mordecai, he was her uncle, he adopted her. So he loved her and he was willing to challenge her way of thinking, you know, along the way. The current king at the time, it's a bit of a morbid story, he gets rid of his wife because she didn't obey him. Hey, I'm not saying that that's a key for this morning or anything like that, but I'm just... This is part of the story, okay? So the current, you know, that's what happens, just so you've got the idea. And that's why. And he was a bad king, obviously. So a search begins for a new queen, and Esther's in the mix. The one in charge of, you know, pulling the girls together meets Esther and shows her favour. And, you know, eventually Esther's chosen as queen. Then things get interesting. So Haman, he was one of the king's top advisors. He decides to have all the Jews in the kingdom killed on a particular day, and he gets the king to agree to that. So Mordecai, which is Esther's father, he's in the kingdom there, he goes to Esther and asks her to intervene on behalf of the Jews. I just want to give you a bit of a really basic overview of the story. So Mordecai's request is massive because for a couple of reasons. One, a little earlier on, he said to Esther, don't tell them that you're a Jew. So the king doesn't know that he's married to a Jew. And also, so if she does that, she's uncovering herself. The other thing is the king hasn't called for her to come into his throne room. And in those times, if you did that, you risk death. So the request of Mordecai is huge. But he says something really interesting in Esther 4:14. It says, for if you remain silent at this time, relief and... So Mordecai says this to Esther. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And I want to say this morning, and here's the challenge, I guess, this morning, is we can't afford to do our own thing, I reckon. We can't afford to remain silent. We can't allow areas in our life to stay hidden. So when I say, or untouched, so when I say, to remain silent, yes, I'm talking about we need to stand up and we need to be a voice in our community, in our nation. But I reckon we can't be silent around the things that hold us back either. We can't be silent around the barriers that can hold us captive. You know, we've talked about freedom this morning. We've talked about, standing together and this sort of thing. You know, we can't be silent around the things that hold us back. We can't have closed doors or shut lives to the things that God is wanting to do in our heart. Because it says here, and it's really just hit me when I read it, for if you remain silent in this time, relief will come for the Jews. God will protect the Jews. But if you keep silent, it's not going to be good for you. So God's always got his plan. God's always got his remnant. But we have a responsibility and a response, in the seasons of God to respond in a certain way. Otherwise, whatever happens, life happens. So you were called for such a time as this. And I want to say that this morning, do you believe that? Truly, do you truly believe that you were called to sail to City Builders Church to whatever for such a time as this? Then if so, wouldn't you think God would give you everything to achieve that? Pastor Brian spoke about it last week about accessing, heaven. And God has called us to be blessed. He wants to bless you, and every blessing is in heaven, and it is there for us to access. If God called you for such a time as this, don't you think that he wouldn't give you the keys or the access to be that person for such a time? So if that's the case, your breakthrough is assured. Your freedom is assured, depending on your response, but it's assured because you were born for such a time as this. You were born for such a time as this. So whatever it is that can hold us back, I reckon we need to make this our season, our time, and we need to go to war on that stuff and smash it, whether it's our thinking, whether it's fear, whether it's intimidation, whether it's uncertainty, whatever it is, we need to grab a hold of that thing and make this our season and smash that thing to smithereens in God, because God's the one that can do it for you, amen? Because you were born, you were created for this time, for this season. I know for me, such a time as this can be so far apart from how I feel, because I don't like confrontation. Okay, over here. But for such a time as this, maybe there's a little bit in that. I like peace, generally speaking. But I don't think that's what, God's... That's probably a bad example. God hasn't called me to war, all right, or anything like that. But God's called me to be something more than what I am maybe currently living right now. The way God sees me is different to the way I see myself sometimes. And such a time as this can be so different from how I'm feeling or thinking right now. Does that make sense? But if God called you for such a time, then there's obviously something He's wanting to do in you to bring you to that place where you can stand and believe that you were created, you were born for such a time as this, for a specific person, a purpose, like Esther, like this, a young girl, save the Jews. What's God got in store for you? Who knows? Who knows? So Ephesians 1:4 says, "For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight." So God called you. God chose you. You know, I speak about Jeremiah 1:5 all the time. You know, same sort of thing. "Before I formed you, I knew you. You know, I ordained you a prophet to the nations." God has got a call for your life. God has created you for a purpose. God has created you for a reason, and maybe it's just for this season in time. I love it when the Bible says this. There's two scriptures I'm thinking of, you know, at the moment where when I first started thinking about this, I was like, "For God has called you for such a time as this." Well, it actually doesn't say that. It says, "Yet who knows whether you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Who knows? Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. I reckon the key there is our response. I reckon God did call her for such a time as this. That's why He raised her the way He raised her, and He put her in the position she was in. She could have chose not to. She was in a pretty cruisy spot. Queen. Could have left Mordecai high and dry. Just gone, "No, I've got it made." You know, there's another one, I think it's Jonathan and his armor bearer. Jonathan's all worked, you know, excited and worked up, and the Philistines are on top of the cliff, and he's like, "Let's go, let's do this. Maybe God will work for us. Maybe God will be with us." That to me, it's crazy excited faith. Let's give it a crack. I don't know, but let's do it. Maybe God's with us. At least life will be fun. At least life will be exciting. But I reckon God comes through in your response. I reckon God comes through on our response. Hopefully we're hearing God in that excitement. But I reckon God comes through. So if He chose you, and He did, if He chose you for such a time as this, and He did, He'll surely equip you with what's needed, you know, for the season ahead. And that is everything from standing up in whatever capacity you want to and be the voice that you want to be, right down to being able to bust through the stuff that holds us back. Yeah. Yep. God doesn't want someone, you know, that's broken and you know, just doom and gloom and, you know, all that sort of stuff. He wants someone free. Yeah. You know, that's why He sent His Son. That's God's heart for us. That's God's heart for you. So the keys are there, that, you know, God is there to bring you through to that place. So what is needed? You know, if God has called you for such a time as this, you know, then what is needed? So first of all, and I stole this from Pastor Brian last week, but there needs to be a different response. You know, it says in the Word, take heed how you hear. In the Gospels, take heed what you hear. You know, we need to be able to hear differently. You need to be able to pick up things differently. Yes. Take heed what you hear. Sometimes we can hear some crazy things. Yes. You know, when I've got a position, what I hear people say can be so skewed because of my position. And I've had it in my own life and I've seen it. You know, Mary, her response is just so amazing and beautiful. You know, let it be done to me. 13, 14-year-old, an angel comes to her, That would be crazy enough, let alone the angel telling you that you're going to have a baby. What a response. And not only just a baby, the Son of God. You know, it's a bit like that. But her response is just so beautiful. You know, let it be done to me. You know, in Esther 4, verse 13, it says, and Mordecai told them to answer Esther, do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. Sometimes, you know, we think we can just get by under the radar, attend church. You know, don't buy into that lie. You're born for something more. God's got a greater plan. Don't waste your Sundays, please. You know, don't waste, you know, what God's given us, what God's given you. You know, Esther's response is so awesome. She says, go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me, neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I, is that how you say it? Shushan? Yeah, that's what I... It's verse 16, 4. You can tell me if I got that right or not. Shushan. But my point is she rallied the team. You know, she rallied the team. She got them together. It wasn't just Mordecai. It wasn't just about Esther or anything like that, but it was Esther, you know, allowing to be trained and equipped for such a time as this. It was, you know, Mordecai having access to be able to speak into her heart and to speak into her life and to train and equip her for such a time as this. It was Mordecai being able to listen to her, because in the scripture it talks about how he heeded her command. Just here in verse 16, when she says, go gather, you know, people, I want them to fast and to pray for 3 days, and I'll gather my people in the palace, and we will fast for and pray for 3 days. Mordecai, it says, you know, he heeded her word. So there's a team effort, and she's pulling together the prayer warriors, and she's pulling together, you know, the ones that can fast and pray and into this situation. You know, so there's a team effort, there's a group effort going on. That was her response. Could have been very different, you know, if her response was different. So we need a different response. Number two, connection with your father. This is all about that, I reckon. This whole story. You know, Esther's success was completely linked to her connection with her father, Mordecai. She allowed him access. She allowed him to speak into her heart, to bring her to a place where she could, you know, operate and function in the kingdom as a queen. Did she know she was going to be queen way back when her parents died? Probably not. She probably felt low as low. But God had called her for a specific reason, for such a time as this. God doesn't make mistakes, I don't reckon. You know, you weren't born in this season, in this time, just because. Oops. Oh, that one came out of the factory. It shouldn't have. No. You know, there's a reason. There's a reason. So maybe, I don't know, I'm just spitballing here, but maybe... I'm saying a whole lot of things that I don't know. You're hearing me this morning, aren't you? You're getting the picture. So Esther, her parents died. So she could have just grown up with a chip on her shoulder and gone, you know, life sucks. You know, my parents died. I'm an orphan. No one wants me. My uncle adopted me. Well, he had to because he's my uncle. You know, all this stuff that can go through, you know, maybe her heads when something bad happens. You know, she could have grown up that way, but she didn't. You know, Mordecai was obviously, came along as a protection and a covering for her, but I reckon he was so much more for her and for that time, because she allowed him to speak, and when she spoke, she obeyed, she listened, she allowed, you know, the words to come into her heart, and it brought her to the place where she brought, and it ultimately brought freedom to the Jews. So connection with your father. For Esther, there was a constant covering and protection because she heard the voice of her father. So it says in Esther 2:20, now Esther had not revealed her family and her people to the king. So she hadn't told the king she was a Jew, just as Mordecai had charged her. For Esther obeyed the command of Mordecai. So that was her heart. Even though God used Esther to save the remnant of the Jews in that place, and I've said this a few times this morning, it was a team effort. There was the father, there was Esther, there were prayer warriors, there were people fasting. And together they fulfilled the assignment. You know, the success of our assignment, the success of City Builders' assignment, the success of your life, if this is home for you, I believe is intrinsically linked and wrapped around the Father of the house and the God of our house. You know, so this is what Esther got. This is what she understood. Know who your father is. This is Steve. Steve's from Southern Lights. He's on holidays at the moment, and he's been in New South Wales, so he's just travelling back through. But a couple of months back, I think, Heidi and I were there, and something I said there was, know who your father is. Pastor Peter prophesied that over me 20-odd years ago. It was the best thing one of the best things that someone's ever said, because I just went, all right, done. Know who your father is. There's protection in it. There's covering in it. It saved me from, you know, getting sucked up in the, you know, I don't know how else to word this, you know, like the cosmos of church. My point is, not long after that Pastor Peter said that, not long after he said that, I started getting phone calls from, someone in a denomination, you know, come along, come on, come and do this, come and play, come and sing, you're great, you're this, you're awesome. Now, if I didn't know who my father was and I didn't know where God had called me, then I wouldn't be here. Because back then, I loved that sort of stuff. And I loved the attention and I loved the adulation and I loved the, you know, you're good. sort of thing. So thank God that covered me, that protected me. So connection with your spiritual father. Number three is a lifestyle. So these are things that we need. You know, if you were called for such a time, you know, if you've been called for this season, this era, this, you know, this time, you know, if you were called for such a time as this, then these are some of the things I think that we need. So number three, a lifestyle of faith and trust. So in Matthew, verses 5-13. I won't read the whole thing, but the story is about how Jesus heals the centurion's servant. Now, when Jesus had this is verse 5. Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I am also a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to the other, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and he said to those who followed, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that," and it goes on. So the point is this, the centurion, his response was, "Only speak a word and my servant will be healed." And Jesus' response is awesome, I reckon. He didn't say, "What great submission this man had. You know, what great compliance, you know, this man he had. He was impressed by his faith, by his great faith." Not, you know, so much so that there hadn't been faith found like that even in Israel. You know, it says, "Surely I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." So Jesus didn't talk about the centurion's submission to him, you know, or his compliance with what he believed the word was or anything like that, but he was like his faith. He picked his faith. He pinpointed his faith. You know, it takes trust and it takes faith to place yourself under authority. When you're under authority, God will give you authority. The centurion got this. He was under authority. He knew that, whether he really knew or not, I don't know, but he knew that there was something around this man called Jesus, that he carried some sort of authority, that Jesus himself was a man under authority. He got that. He understood that because he was a soldier. Soldiers get this. If the leader of the soldiers, what are they called? Captain? I don't know. Says go, you go. You don't have a choice. You go. So the centurion got this. He understood this. And he obviously got it in the spirit because he knew that just at the word of Jesus, you know, the servant would be healed. So a lifestyle of faith and trust. You know, the centurion's faith and trust in one man was enough to remove death or remove whatever it was that the servant had, however far away the servant was. So does that make sense? So this morning I want to say to you, shake off doom and gloom. You know, shake it off. You were called for such a time as this. And you have access for that something that can help you be who God's going to call you to, what God's called you to be in such a time as this. So shake it off. You're called. You are called. You're called. God's called you. Doesn't matter where you're at right now. Doesn't. God's called you. Yes. Esther lost her parents. That's pretty average. I'd grow up with a chip on my shoulder if that had happened, I think. So you're called, and you're called for this season. And if this is your home, I reckon you're called for this place. If you believe this is where God's called you, I know for me, God's called me here. Whether I was holding this microphone or not, I can tell you 100% that this is still my home. Doesn't matter. I'm a son of this house, regardless of my function. So I know I'm called. Do I know the extent? No. But I'm learning and I'm getting to understand that God has called me. Regardless of what that function is, God's called me. God created me for this time. And if that's the case, then I should be able to stand up into everything that God's got for me, even if it means a little bit of embarrassment, even if it means a little bit of, you know, whatever, fear, intimidation, or whatever. Something is there that I can access in heaven because God called me for such a time as this. And Jesus did it all on the cross. I don't have to worry about pain and rejection. I don't have to worry about fear. I don't have to worry about whatever can hold me back and the things that go on in life because Jesus paid all that. God has called me for such a time as this. So I'm going to live that way because I have access to reach into heaven, to reach into the resource of my Father in heaven and my Father, spiritual Father here on earth, and grab it on the inside of me and live that way. Now, I'm not right there yet, but I'm beginning to grab a hold of this. God has called you. You are called. If you don't believe it, you don't believe the word because you're called. It says it in there. For such a time, for this season, in this season, you're going to find who you are. You are going to find who you are in this time, in this season. If you are a little bit unsure of who you really are, you're going to find it in this season. If you respond, you'll find it. You'll find who you are in this season. You're going to know who you are. You are going to know who you are. And not just a, you know, a parrot, I'm a son of God. You're going to know. You know, when you know who you are, when you know that you're a son of God, when you know what you're connected with and what you're linked with, then you can stand strong regardless of what is going on in life and go, no, I know who I am. I know why God called me. There's all sorts of stuff going on around me. There's health. There's my mind is playing tricks. There's oppression and fear and anxiety and whatever it is. All this stuff can be going on around you. We live in a world. We live in a fallen world. So I'm not saying life's going to be rosy. But if you know who you are, if you know who your God is, then you can stand strong in that. And you can be everything that God called you to be in that. So the answer is here in the house. The answer is Jesus. Don't get me wrong, but I serve the God of this house. You know, I serve the God of my Father. You know, and I want to grab a hold of everything that the God of my Father has. You know, so the answer's in the house. It's your connection to the God of the house. Don't be found trying to do your own thing. If this is your home, don't be found trying to do your own thing. Connect. Link in, because otherwise in a place like this, if you can't do that, you get frustrated. Because God has called this place for such a time as this, for a specific purpose, for a role, whatever, you know, for that God has called us for a specific reason. So if you've got other ideas, great, awesome. Go into all the world and do it. But if you try to, you know, does it make sense? We are a soccer team and this is our plan. If old Billy over here, Johnny just came. That was just a word. If Billy over here decides that he's going to play a different strategy, two things will happen. Well, probably a few things. The team will either beat him up or the coach will get rid of him or they'll lose. You know, or all three. You know, so one strategy, one plan. This is who we're called to be. Yep. There are plenty of other churches with the call of God on them. Find where you fit. Find where you fit and give your life for that place. That's my advice. Don't be found trying to do your own thing. Release the frustration from over your life. Connect. Connect. The answer's here. It's right here. We can be looking, but it's here. The answer is here. You're called for such a time as this. We are city builders, and I reckon in the season ahead, we're going to know what that means. We're going to really know what that means. At the moment, I reckon we're beginning to understand. But I reckon, you know, we're going to begin to know what it is, what it means. You can just say it. You'll know. You'll know who you are. You'll know who the God of the house is. You'll know. You'll understand. You'll get it. City builders. It's not just a pretty name. What's it mean? You know, what does it mean? We're going to know. Because we were called for such a time as this. Amen. How about we stand? Follow on. So God's good, hey? So, you know, I want to, you know, move ahead in this season. beginning to know who God's called me to be. Know that God has called me for such a time. I'd love to be able to just look each and every one of you in the eye. And going around, it's very hard when there's a lot of people. I'll miss someone or something. You were called. Don't say that I'm just a youth. You know, don't say that I can't speak. You know, don't say those things. You know, great men and women of God in the Word have said these things. Moses, I think it was. Abraham. Moses. Moses, I can't speak. You know, Gideon. I'm just a youth. Mate, no? Have I got this right? This is what happens when I just talk off the cuff. Sometimes I get my theology slightly inaccurate. But you hear my heart. It's in the Word. I'm just not sure where. You know, don't say that. Know who you are. Know who God has called you to be. Know that you are loved. This is your tribe. This is your house. If this is where you call home. If not, then you're released. But if this is where you're called home, then it ain't going to work anywhere else. That's what I reckon. Because this is where God called you. If God had a plan for Esther to get into that kingdom, become queen and save the Jews, do you think it would have worked if she went somewhere else? So if God's called you for such a time, then I reckon we've got to begin to believe it. I reckon we've got to begin to live it. I reckon we've got to get around each other and begin to encourage. I reckon we've got to begin to get around each other and begin to lift you up, lift them up. And, you know, Sammy say to John, man, you were called for such a time as this. And John goes, no, you were. You're called, you know, and begin to, you know, my boys say, I love you, Daddy. I'm like, no, I love you. You know, that's what I say to them. So, does that make sense? You know, begin to stir and encourage the God on the inside of your brother and sister, because you were called. But you know what? So was the person next to you. The person next to you has been called, and maybe you've been called to walk together. Maybe you've been called for such a time as this. You know, maybe you've been called, you know, to walk together. Maybe you've only been here for a little while and you're beginning to find your place here and find your feet. Well, you were called too for such a time as this. It's no accident that you came here when you did. God's a lot bigger than what we think. God knows what's going on. You know, God's sometimes, you know, it's our response that can, you know, hold up the call. But God knows what's going on. God will get you there.
I just wanted to say that I'm so inspired by that message, because it's just what God is doing in our nation and in our church, in our relationships. Like, you know, when you look, I don't know, I'm something, God must have moved something out of the way in my head, because I'm seeing and hearing everything differently. But, you know, there was a nation that needed saving, and their freedom was tied up in Esther's obedience. She was the key that unlocked the Jews' freedom in exile. And not only that, she couldn't have done it by herself, like Jules was saying. And I know that when we were in Malaysia, one of the main quotes that hit me from Papa Jonathan was, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And do you know what? Our call is not to be a fast, quick, flash in the pan thing. It's meant to go far. We are meant to be, we are called to be a finishing generation. We cannot be that. We cannot be that without the person next to you. We cannot be that without our brothers and sisters. We cannot be that without our spiritual mum and dad. That is those relationships is what's going to push you beyond the limitation of yourself. So, you know, I might have the capacity to go fast in a certain distance, and then I've hit my limit. I've hit my wall. But when I join my heart to my spiritual papa and I say, help me, guide me, show me, lead me, and I submit myself like Esther did, my limitation is broken. My the distance I can go is so much further because I'm drawing on somebody else's stature. I'm drawing the covering and the grace and the anointing around my life. And, you know, it wasn't, like Jules was saying, it wasn't just Esther that unlocked the freedom of that nation. It was the father and daughter working together that unlocked the freedom over the Jews, that saved them. And I think that we've got a nation that needs saving. And it's not just evangelization. I know that, like, the gospel is powerful. We must preach it. That is an absolute foundational truth. But the gospel is so much bigger than the story of Jesus' birth, death, and resurrection. The gospel is me being adopted in the spirit and finding my spiritual father. And the gospel is me being able to us working together. And in that relationship, there's freedom that unlocks other people's freedom. It unlocks the city's freedom and a nation's freedom. So I just wanted to encourage you this morning that I really believe that God is speaking to us about our relationships and how the power that's inside them. And I just wanted to pray over everyone this morning because I know that I felt myself, you know, previous to this season, so disconnected and like such an orphan, you know, that it was the old thing that was hanging around my life, that if anyone feels disconnected or they feel like they just keep hitting that limitation of their own, you know, their own capacity, then let's break it this morning. Let's reconnect our hearts. Let's reconnect to the grace on this house because there is an anointing, like a divine enablement on this house to go further than any one of us can go in our own individual lives by ourselves. So, Father God, we just lift up our hearts to you this morning. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for the word that has come out this morning, Father. And God, we just thank you, Lord God, that you are showing us the power of sonship, Father God. You're showing us the power of relationship, Lord God, of family. You're showing us the power that is in finding our tribe, Father God, and not being a voice by ourselves, but joining together, Father God, with our remnant, Lord Jesus, with the forefathers that you've given us, Lord God, with the brothers and sisters, Father God. Lord God, just becoming freedom fighters together, Lord Jesus. God, I thank you that there is a nation that needs saving right now, Father God. God, I thank you that you're gathering your people together, Father God. You are joining generations in this place, Father God. You are turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. And Lord God, I thank you it's going to unlock cities and nations, Father God. God, we just thank you, Lord Jesus, that we are not an island on our own, Father God. We are part of a big family. We are part of a big army, Father God. We are part of a powerful remnant, Father. And Lord Jesus, I just thank you, Lord God, that when we hit our limitations, Father, we can draw on a grace that pushes every boundary, Father God, that breaks through every chain, Father God. God, we just connect our hearts with this morning. God, our hearts cry, show us how to connect. Show us what is stopping us, Father God. I just really believe right now that in this moment, God is going to begin to start a process in so many hearts. And I know my own cry has been, God, show me what's stopping me. And the moment I started praying that, God sent me someone to show me. And don't close your heart off from the word. Don't close your heart off from anyone coming in and speaking into your heart because people can see things that you can't. People want to break a culture, break a barrier, break those prison doors off your life. Open your heart and receive it. God, we just thank you. We thank you for our freedom. We thank you that it's coming. We thank you this is a new season. We thank you that you're promoting us. God, we thank you, Lord God. We're not going to be held down by anything any longer, Father. Thank you in Jesus' name. Yes.